Exciting and beautiful day here. I've been thinking a lot about baptism this last week. Some of the logistics about how we would do baptism outside, but also how can we talk about baptism in a way that not only all of us here, including guests, but also that might make some sense for two elementary school boys whose energy level affectionately reminds me of my own as a young child. And so I want to begin with Jesus' words, sometimes called the Great Commission, where Jesus says to go, therefore, into all the nations, right? Making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey my commands, for lo, I am with you till the end of the age. And so why do we baptize? Well, we baptize because Jesus told us to, right? We baptize because Jesus told us to. And that's the Great Commission. I like to think of Jesus' words here, though, at the end of Matthew chapter 10, as the Little Commission. It's the Little Commission. Jesus talks about giving a cup of cold water to even one of the little among us. Jesus talks about doing something small for somebody who may be on the margins, may be forgotten. It's easy for us to get excited about the grand and the big, but the truth is that much of life consists of little decisions, little action, little cups of cold water that we do for other people that determine our character, determine our relationships. So if I were a pastor at a wedding, which I have been, and I've got this couple in front of me, and I were to look, and the bride and groom are lovingly looking at each other, and I would say, are you willing to die for this person? They would probably put their hand on their chest and say, of course I will pledge and give myself. And this would be the great and glorious, the chivalrous promise. But if I were to then put it in terms of little, like, will you do their laundry every week? Will you go to every family vacation with their family? Right? Will you constantly put up with their tics, their anxieties, their interruptions, day in and day out? That might not be as exciting. The truth is that that's what makes a marriage. That's what makes a relationship. That's what makes any friendship. Parenting is the same way. Well, we give our lives for our children, but the stream of diapers and cleaning up food and temper tantrums and so forth, it's not always as glorious. Again, the great and the big are attractive, but so often in life, the real things that make up who we are, that make up our relationship, are the series of little things we do for people day in and day out. And as a called and claimed baptized disciple of Jesus, it's good for us to remember that it's so often about these little cups of cold water that Christ calls us to give other people. Now, you may sort of want to stop me here and say, but Pastor, there are big structural, systematic crises in our culture right now. Right? COVID, unemployment, racial unrest, civil unrest, climate change. I mean, the list goes on. Breakdown of family structures. I mean, there are big problems. And so shouldn't we be focused on great and grand systematic solutions to such problems? I would say that's fine. There are structural and big problems. There are. But what happens is that when we sort of live in this world, we move from one crisis to another, and we inevitably see some expert or hear some expert, and what they tell you is that it's all wrong, and it's in fact, it's too late to do anything about it because you should have read their book 5 years ago when we could have done something, but now it's the moment has passed. And this sort of cumulative effect of this crisis mentality is that we begin to lose a sense of agency. We begin to lose a sense that we can do anything, make any difference in this world. And once we've lost agency, the only alternative is anger, to lash out at each other and be bitter and place blame. Jesus lived in a world that was just as much in crisis as ours. He lived in a Jewish small state that was a fiefdom of the Roman Empire. They were heavily taxed. Rome was a brutal military dictatorship that had slavery and would crucify criminals. And within their own nation, there was all sorts of unrest and infighting about how to deal with the Roman occupation. Jesus lived in a time of great crisis. He knew about the structural injustices. And even though he comments on them earlier in chapter 10, here he reminds his disciples that there is always a power, always a call to do the least of things for the least of people, to do the small and little things day in and day out. You may not know Anita and Justin. They're the parents of Israel and Giro. And a few years ago, they were going to Ethiopia as part of a process of adoption. And there were many things that they saw there that they loved, falling in love with the place, but there were also some real challenges. And it would have been easy like so many, to be overwhelmed, to lose a sense of agency in all of this. But they have worked now the last few years to figure out a way to connect with local elementary schools there to do some basic healthcare provision. I don't think the World Health Organization has them on their radar yet. But it is about doing these small things in a world that's complex and confusing that Christ promises to bless and reward us for. Again, the call to discipleship is never to stop, in spite of the craziness of the world, of continuing each and every day in our relationships to offer the cold cup of water. I also want to think about this idea of a little commission today as a reminder for both Giram and Ezreal, and for all of us and all the children here, that in this church, we expect you as children to be disciples. We are not waiting for you to get older to finally get it all right. We are expecting you to be disciples. And the truth is that just as the boardroom needs Christians, so does the playground. Again, the boardroom needs Christians, but so does the playground. And so from this day forward, Ezreal and Giram, know that you are a disciple. And Jesus is your Lord wherever you go, in your family, on the way to school, at church, in the neighborhood, at the rec center, at the pool, wherever you go. And it's amazing, too, what children can do, even doing little things. I was reading recently a biography of a woman named Ruby Bridges. And when she was 6 years old, she lived in New Orleans, and she was given the very small task of walking and going to school. It just so happened that the school she went to was an all-white school, and she was a black girl. And on the way, she walked, and on the way, she got all sorts of people that were mean to her, and she went and she sat in her classroom. And it's really powerful when you read her story. She talks about how she would just pray for these people. And it's so moving to hear a six-year-old say that I was praying for people who were being mean to me. Again, at each age of life, we can be a disciple wherever God put us. And so often, it just comes down to doing the little things for other people, acts of everyday kindness, loyalty, and obedience to Christ. Now, I don't want to lose sight of the great, for in baptism we are given something great and wonderful, and this is the gift of eternal life. That we know that no matter what happens in our life, even though, yes, one day we will all die, that ultimately God's love is bigger, and that God's love poured out on the cross and the empty tomb means that we will be with God forever. I never want to lose sight of that great news. But God's love is so great that God doesn't have to wait for you or for me to die to begin loving us. Jesus does not have to wait for our death to embrace us and guide us and be our Savior and our Shepherd. But in fact, all along the way, each and every day, Jesus is continuing to show love for us. And I want to suggest that actually happens just like it does in human relationships, often in little ways. Little ways, an act of compassion from somebody who turns the other cheek, somebody who offers us forgiveness and reconciliation, a beautiful scene in nature, a word from Scripture that reopens and reorients our heart in a new way. Again and again, we discover as baptized Christians that God is indeed with us, as Jesus says in the Great Commission, and that it often is coming about in little ways each and every day. And so my hope is Ezra and Giram, that for the rest of your life, and this is really my hope for all of us, is that at the end of the day and each day, that as we wash our face, we're reminded that we are baptized. And this challenges us and calls us to review the last 24 hours and recall to mind the ways in which God, in so many little ways, has strengthened us, has shown us love and mercy. Now there will be days when, at the end of the day, when we wash our face, there are hard days. There are days when we feel like we have stumbled greatly. And in those days, I invite you to simply retrace the cross on your forehead and know that you are forgiven. And that is no little thing. Now, baptism, again, seems like a little thing. It's just a little bit of water and some precious words from God's promises. But it does a great thing. And then it claims us as a child forever.